And to talk about our number one sponsor, who is also always number one, especially according to us and Men's Health Magazine, we're talking about Nut Care. So Bare Nuts pubic hair removal cream. They've got the bare butts, they've got the comfy nuts, they got everything you need as far as male grooming is concerned. And as proud supporters of Any Given Sunday, Nut Care is always offering 10% off your first purchase. Just simply chuck in the code Any Given Sunday at checkout and the discount will be applied. Essential grooming for men, Nut Care.
Brown 45! Brown 45!
You are listening to Any Given Sunday Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in, let's start reeling off some places, two studios, three households, NFL Australia, Gridiron Australia, up in Shepparton. A shout out to the boys up in Shepparton, they love us up there now, it's awesome. And Detroit. We've got to talk about Detroit for a second. For anyone who hasn't checked out our latest interview, All four of us, including the interviewee, Big Joe Fourier in studio, live in studio. He was an incredible chat. Boys, I'm sure you can attest to how good he was. Some incredible stories, which we did our research, but I was still very, very shocked once some of the stories came out. He was awesome to chat to. Joining us, so make sure you check that out everywhere. Joining us, as always, with a phone call, by the sounds of it. Get Sarge to answer that one, Karts.
Come on, Sarge.
Danny's basement, wherever that is, at Tim Carty, AGS, AU, TC, 24. How are you, mate?
Nailed it. Oh, I'm good, brother. Just took a week, but finally just recovered from Super Bowl week. So, yeah, amped up, ready to go. And, yes, you did touch on the chat with Big Joe Fourier. That was awesome. Really good insight into, oh, my God, Sarge.
Is that Joe?
Really good insight.
No, Joe's calling in.
Oh, we got the phone lines up.
It'll take us 2 years, but we're onto it.
Anyway, that's a good bit of fun. But, yeah, really good insight into life after football and, like, the path he's taken, the journey he's on, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, if you get a chance, jump on our YouTube and check it out. Give it a listen. Give us some feedback if you so desire. It was a really, really good, enjoyable chat.
Yeah, definitely do yourself a favor and get on there. Joining us also is going into year two. Well, he's had two Super Bowls now. He's a veteran of the game. At Danny Webb, AGSAU, how are you, mate?
I'm good. Two Super Bowls and both times had events on that were unavoidable and unmissable. I'm definitely not doing it next year. Like, lock it in now. Like, screen grab me right now. Mark it. I'll be there. I want to go wherever you go because your Super Bowl
3 minutes and 10 seconds in.
Your Super Bowl day sounded way better than mine. But, yeah, still got the game done. Still managed to get done with zero spoilers, which was great. Actually ended up having quite a good evening. Had another couple come over to our place. We cooked up some pizzas and did some American food, had American beers. Still had a good day for it. It just wasn't the event that you had, T-Mac.
Oh, I had a pretty quiet one too, mate. Went zero dark 30 like you did and just slept through most of the day. But
I say it took me a week to recover. I actually had a nice, quiet, relaxing one at home as well, Danny boy. I got to enjoy the game by myself, kid-free, so that was nice. But T-Mac, I suspect it's probably actually taken you genuinely a week to recover.
Yeah, there's a few more extra wrinkles under the eyeballs.
No, you look great. You still look all right.
Especially with that fly hat on.
Yes, it is. And this was straight out of off the boat in the harbour with NFL Australia. Shout out to NFL Australia. It was an incredible event. I can nearly guarantee that it's happening again next year because from what we did and what we enjoyed, it was an incredible day. We did manage to hang around with a few. I took Max, those who are long-time listeners know Maxie, our golf expert.
Our way, way back early
episodes. Yes, Cincinnati Bagels golf expert. He loved it. We had a great time. We got to hang out with some people that were some pretty big social media people or influencers, I guess.
Yeah.
So we were hanging out with Mitch Robertson, a former Brisbane Lions player, which that was huge, and I definitely said...
You're a big Brisbane Nuffy yourself.
Oh, I took him out the back at one point. I was like, mate, I can't lie. I'm a big Brisbane fan. And he was great. He was actually an absolute Jem and spoke to me about it for a bit, and he's picked Brisbane Carlton in the AFL Grand Final. So, yeah, just a little one to touch on there. The Shep mates, which Maxi found out pretty quickly, they're not from Shepparton. That's their last name.
I love it.
So they get that all the time. But they were awesome as well. Yeah, so really, really enjoyable trip. And I did speak to Jamie from NFL Australia, and I figured, you know, we've gone from promoting NFL Australia, which we'll continue to do and grow the game, to we've made it to the party, the official NFL Australia party, which I will mention, Any Given Sunday Australia, all of our merchandise, as seen on ESPN and live in the stadium, because they did a cross to Australia, and I did get my big melon right in the middle of it. And the green, I wore the green, which the Packers green, which I got a message from my partner, and she said, "You look like a dickhead." But geez, it stood out right in the middle of everyone wearing black and white, I can tell you that much.
Yes, it did. It's just
smart marketing for
smart
you.
Smart marketing.
Yeah, but I was talking to Jamie. She's awesome. And I said, pretty much the next level is New Orleans next to you. I'm pretty sure we're going to go. So, Danny, make sure you're free.
I'll be free, trust me. And if NFL Australia can hook us up like they hooked you up to go to New Orleans, oh, baby, we're there.
I'll make sure I can swing a few things in the calendar if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, we might have to have an annual leave plugged in for that one. But, yeah, no, it was a great day. And, yeah, I don't know what much more to say.
Massive thanks, maybe.
Shout out to NFL Australia. Jamie was huge, and she was – do you know what? I know she's a huge fan. She is a pocket – she's smaller than me, and I'm not very tall, as you've seen from some photos recently with Big Joe. She's an absolute pocket rocket, and she did an incredible job. So shout out to them guys. And, yeah, I can't see you boys missing it next year.
No way. Yeah, we might as well make a pact like right here, right now, live on YouTube, that the three of us will be together, especially for the third year.
In my head.
I do think you're going to have to fight because Maxi said he's coming back.
When Maxi starts doing weekly episodes or bi-weekly episodes during the season, then he can come.
Yeah, you gotta earn your stripes. He Stephen Bradbury into this one. He's gonna have to earn his stripes next year, I think.
Nah, fair enough. All right, we do have some news to talk about. Well, not news. Well, it's actually, I'm gonna call it news. It was a question without notice that got thrown at me during our episode in the studio with us three boys.
Can you remind me what happened? Did you knock it out the park or
which
the
one? It's probably those who know baseball. It was an in-ground home run. I don't think I've knocked it out of the park. I've still got questions. I've still got some questions myself about it because it doesn't seem
pretty generous.
Yeah, the way that they've had it set up seemed like it worked, but they've kind of started to change their own rules a little bit here. So the question was how do they pick the home team and the away team, and how do they decide who wears the white and the red?
It was more about the kit. Who wears their home kit or their
the
away
kit? Yeah. So, which I had no idea, but it seems like it goes with the stadium. So this is what they've done in the past. They alternate an AFC home game and an NFC home game. So this year, being at
Vegas,
AFC team. So the AFC side gets to pick. They're the home team, which was the Chiefs, and they get to actually pick which uniform they're wearing. And then in the past, the white side seems to have I think you go back, I don't have the exact stats, but the team wearing the white wins more than it loses. So there's a little bit of superstition about that. But I then looked into the future, and the next four, I think, are all NFCs, home games. So I reckon they're just going to alternate home versus away, but because we've got New Orleans next, NFC. Then we've got San Fran, NFC. Nice. Then we've got it's back to LA, which is both NFC and AFC. So their rules are a little bit shit there. But
I've just seen a little something that AFC representatives are the home team in even numbered Super Bowls, and the NFC are the home team in the odd numbered Super Bowl.
Yeah. So they're just gonna. And they did try and correlate the stadiums, but not every stadium.
They won't always be able to do that, will they?
Nah, like there's going to be teams. Green Bay's never going to have a Super Bowl because it's freezing cold and out in the open. Like it's never going to go there. It's the teams that get the newer stadiums i.e. Vegas, i.e. LA. New Orleans isn't new, but they did have a little bit of an upgrade, but it's an incredible stadium. They're the teams that are going to get the Super Bowls every year. So, yeah, just like I said, in-ground home run, but I didn't knock it out of the park. There's still some questions about it.
No, we took it on notice, so you've done well to actually remember to come back. You do forget a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I haven't actually done or come back to, and that was one that I did, so I'm pretty happy with it. But that does lead straight into the game, because the team in the white was the team that got the job done. So just add that, another little stat in the column. Was it the team in the... Nah, they were white, weren't they? Kansas were in the white.
No.
Oh. You sure?
What camera are you watching?
Same game. I reckon they were in the white. Yeah, you're onto it. Anyway, for those that don't know, we are a week removed. So we kind of had a chat about this. We're a week removed.
Dust, we can't remember.
The dust has settled. Exactly right. The dust has settled on the game. So we're not going to go into too much.
The Chiefs were definitely in red.
Yeah, that's why. So the colored teams win more than the white teams.
Oh, mate. This is dribble.
As we remember. It's a great start. One of you boys, I've been talking for too long. One of you boys take over. What were your thoughts on the game? Danny boy, we'll head to you. You did go zero dark 30, which was awesome to expect. Yeah. I was sending a lot of spoilers. I don't know how you didn't.
Luckily for the game that I was on that internal course, I literally didn't look at my phone all day. And then everyone in group chats was also quite good, because I let everyone know very well in advance, like, please don't ruin this for me. The people who merely did were the instructors down at the course, and then I had to give them a stern talking to us. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, this is my one day. Let me have this. I'm here, present. You be present as well, so I can go home and watch this and enjoy this. So after the stern talking to, we all kind of had a bit of a laugh. But yeah, like I said, managed to come back home and watch it. And rip a game. So good whenever this game goes to overtime. Yes, T-Mac, you called it. We'll get into the bets a little bit later. But as soon as the 49ers kicked that field goal, and like what Mahomes had 7 minutes left or whatever it was in that final drive in OT, I was like, I went to Meals and the crew that I was here with. I'm like, it's done. I'm like, it's bloody, it's Mahomes. He's going to get it done again. He's going to get a touchdown. I'm like, that's just what he does. Like, and it's so good to be, you know, talking about this sport and being so involved in it during this era, because we're going to look back at it and it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be the GOAT talk always. It's going to be like Mahomes, Brady, you know, and all the great quarterbacks from the past as well. But, like, you know, he's up there now, and, like, they've definitely set in stone that. And they're already talking three-peat. They're already talking three-peat, which is crazy. And, like, not just them, like, the whole NFL world. So, like, well, it's getting to the point now, how do you bet against him? So are the Chiefs going to be the first ever team to go and three-peat? Because all they were saying this year was meant to be their down year. This year was meant to be the down year, and they bloody won.
Well, season was down. Like, they were shit during the year.
Well, it's just because they had so many young receivers and stuff. They had to really kind of build them up as they went along. And then, like, you know, Kelsey had that massive dip coming towards the end of the season, which he carried on for the first half of this game. But then, you know, picked back up to his normal self. It was, to me, it was really heartbreaking to see the 49ers go down. Obviously, I tipped them, just real hopeful. And Brock, you see him on the sideline. Like, it's only his second full season. He was sitting there, like, you know, in tears. Yeah, and it's going to be hard for the 49ers realistically now to come back, because where all their money is going to be tied up. Brock's essentially the only one on that cheap contract, which he's still in his rookie contract for one more year. I think he can extend after the end of next season. Can't have discussions before then, though, because it's part of his deal being drafted in the last round. So, like, there's just, yeah, to me it was heartbreaking for the 49ers to see that, that tip point after touchdown, the tip PAT cost them a little bit there. And
huge by the end of the game. Like, it was massive.
Yeah, and if they had got a touchdown on that overtime drive instead of a field goal, like, maybe we're talking about this differently. But unfortunately, it's just Mahomes doing Mahomes things, and bloody hell, that trick play, man, it got me. I was like, whoa, where's he throwing the ball to? But, like, yeah, he obviously got the ball to Hardman and got the job done.
Timothy?
Yeah, well, we kind of talked about this year, like you said, Danny boy, it wasn't really the Chiefs' year, but I said a couple of episodes ago that, like, this almost adds another little bow to the string to their bow, sorry. Like, they've done it the hard way as the underdogs and the the kind of the bad guys now. And so like in terms of the three-peat, why not? They're only going to be better next year. Like that young receiver core is only going to be more experienced. A lot of those guys, like even on the podium, and I think Big Chris Jones, it might have been at the parade, talking about we're going again. Kelsey's going again. Coach Reed's going again. Like, you know, Mahomes is only 28. People talk about like in terms of a dynasty and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, like they're genuinely focused on the three-peat. Like it's almost like this was a tick box. Now next year is the real job because we want to do something that no one's ever done before. So that's exciting. Like it sucks being the Raiders are AFC West team, but like it's going to be cool to potentially witness history. So that's pretty exciting. But
just on that, like it's absolutely mind blowing that they're like Reed and Mahomes are already halfway to what Brady and Belichick did over 20 years, and they've done it in 6 years of him playing properly. Like yeah, it's his seventh season.
Six years as a starter.
And he's got three rings. You're telling me he's winning the Super Bowl 50% of the time as a starter at 28. Like that's just at his age. I think it goes across almost all sport, like all major American sports as well. Like it's just it hasn't been done before.
Well, since becoming a starter, they've not missed an AFC Championship game. Is that right?
Correct.
So even just then, like we were talking about, it's going to be hard for the 49ers to kind of reload and go again. You know, just depending where the money's going to fall with all their contracts. They've got so many big names that need to get paid. They do have the advantage of Brock still being on his rookie contract. But for the Chiefs to be able to just load up and stake, it's so hard to win in the NFL. And for the Chiefs to stay consistent, they keep getting to that AFC Championship game. Like, it's incredible. It's going to be hard for the 49ers next year. Like, they tasted that disappointment again. So many questions now around Shanahan and some of his decision-making during the game. Like,
because they were 10-0 up at the start of the game as well. And, like, he's going to have that hanging over his head as a coach. And everyone's going to know it. And everyone's going to point to him and blame fingers on him for, you know, fumbling that lead.
Well, and they've gone and fired Wilkes, the DC. He was kind of a lamb to the slaughter kind of thing. Like something had to, or someone had to kind of get sacrificed kind of thing. Like, and it was just, I think it was just the types of coverage that Wilkes was putting out. Even at one point, it might've been in the third quarter where Shanahan like called the timeout because he saw the defensive coverage that was going to be put out and like kind of said to him, nah, we're not going. Yep. Like, it was like zero. I think it was gone for zero cover or something like that. And they changed it to man or whatever it was. But even then having to step in, and I think just throughout the year, Wilkes didn't really blitz that much and just little things that maybe he was always on the chopping block. Maybe they were always looking to part ways regardless of the result. But yeah, it happened. A few days after the game. So yeah, pretty quickly moving on from him there.
Well, considering the fact that they were such a beast of a defensive unit throughout the season, but was it those kind of were they just hidden problems that the team was able to just overcome?
The stars that they've got on that defensive side of the ball maybe were covering up for the lack of those little hidden nuances like that. The stars were just getting it done off their own bat, being that good that it was almost masking the problem a little bit maybe.
And was it, I think, not that I've heard a few podcasts and a few stories, was it Fred Warner that went down? Someone went down with the Achilles injury, and pretty much from when they went down, Greenlaw, as soon as he went down, the game changed.
Dre was literally bouncing because there'd been a good play, was it on a punt return or something?
Yeah, they were coming
bouncing
in.
Bouncing on the sidelines and went to run on and it just went pop. It was like... And because in the coverage, it kind of cut to a break after the punt return and they came back and they just said...
It's on the ground.
This has happened. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, has he run on too early and it's like a penalty and it's going to undo the good play? But nah, they saw him. You see him go down and you're just like, no, not again. Yeah. Like you think back to the NFC Championship game last year when they had all the injuries. And, you know, I think Kittle was kind of battling through with something. He was super quiet throughout the game.
Covered him really well,
but, you know, he just had no production throughout the game. So,
shoulder at some point during the game.
I heard shoulder issue because he had to go like downstairs into the rooms. Debo had a hammy kind of issue pop up. Same thing. He returned and played, but you know, is he at 100%? Like, so just those little things that happened for the Niners again, unfortunately, in like the biggest game.
Yeah, and like we just spoke about the punting, punting on both sides of the ball, like, but especially let's talk about the 49ers side because it's more important to us. But those puntings, those punts were just like, what a game for punters.
Keep
punting. Mitch having five punts, averaging over 50 plus is the first time ever in a Super Bowl. So he's absolutely balled out. So huge shout out to the Aussie, Mitch Wisniewski. Unfortunately, playing in his second and not getting the job done again. But, you know, first Australian to play two. So awesome for him.
Because the first half was kind of like both teams were feeling each other out. It was really defensive. No one was really until that trick play to get CMC the first touchdown. But it was kind of conservative. And so the punts were kind of the focal point of that first half. So, yeah, it was awesome to see Mitch standing, like shining almost in that yeah, first half.
100% shining. And you mentioned CMC and so many things going wrong for San Fran, which a lot of the fans will be like, shit, it happened again. Like you said, the NFC Championship last year, and the same thing. It's just everything's going against us. CMC balled out. 80 yards carrying, 80 yards receiving, which is the first player ever to do that in a Super Bowl with a touchdown to go along with it. So I reckon if they managed to get over the line, the running back winning the MVP was very much in line for him. But first Super Bowl for him, hopefully not the last for his sake, but he definitely pulled out for it.
It was, sorry, keep talking, I'll find it. Jennings, there was talk of Jennings maybe being in the combo because he threw for one, he received a touchdown. So
yeah.
I was talking, maybe they got over the line, maybe he might have been a little sniff. But yes, you're right. CMC did absolutely ball out. Early fumble. There was a couple of fumbles
Both sides have an early fumbles as well.
The nerves of the game. CMC doesn't fumble those.
I did appreciate this. You know, the refs didn't really have an impact on the game. I don't feel like from what I was watching. Last year we had so much talk about, you know, the turf was shit, blah, blah, blah. Cherry ripe this year. Like, there was none of that. It was just about the game and just about the players. Like, I appreciate the fact that we played the game and it was decided on the field, not by the field.
There was none of that external noise or distractions or excuses. But then I suppose it was internal. When it came to the overtime and the interesting approach, I guess you'd say, the 49ers took, potentially not really understanding the rules, maybe.
Which I think that's bullshit. Like,
so
everyone knows.
Shanahan did come out and say, yeah, we wanted the ball and we were going to win it on the third possession. So expecting to get a touchdown or field goal, Chiefs would match and then they go win it on the next. But then out of the Chiefs camp, regardless, they were going for an extra point, I think, if they got a touchdown, if they needed to. So, and like all the stuff that's come out, like, They had meetings about potential overtime in playoffs with the rule changes and scenarios and things. They were drilled. They were ready to go. They knew what they were doing. There's clips even coming out. Mahomes runs back to the sideline and goes, they want the ball. They want the ball. And then Kelsey's like, hey, they want the ball. Let them have it. Let them have it. Like, almost like, you idiots. So.
Yeah. Like, fuck, you take it. We're gonna score and we're going to go 2 points and we're going to beat you that way.
Such an advantage because it's taken away the luck of winning the coin toss of who's going to have the ball first. So an advantage to go second because you know what you need to do. Yeah. If in the case of this, like the 49ers, they go, they score the field goal, you know a touchdown's getting it done. Like,
yeah.
So good point.
A question I have, and I don't know the answer, and Max was the one who actually brought it up live. Oh, no, we've got drums. Live when we were there. And so they scored pretty much as time ran out in the overtime, right?
Yep.
If they don't score there, is that game over?
No, the field just
goes to the second.
That's just the field.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's a great question.
Yeah, there was a lot of confusion around that. I actually saw you in your reaction video. You might have been leaning over and you were giving a bit of advice to Archie or the boys on what was actually going on because it would have been pretty confusing.
They had
because
no idea
the first
what
time that overtime has happened in a playoff since they changed the rule, and they changed the rule because of the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's what they were asking. Like, it was after the touchdown. Like, is this game over? Fuck, it's done. Which the hype there was awesome.
Funnily enough, Hardman didn't even realize that he'd kind of won the game. It took him a second to kind of catch up as well.
It was the video of Mahomes running up to him, but it's game over, mate. He's like, oh, all right, let's go. It's awesome. But, yeah, so incredible the fact that it went into overtime. And like you said, the performance of the boys to get it done there. You spoke a little bit about a dynasty. And I was listening to Pat McAfee this morning. They had Adam Vinatieri on the other day, who was part of the Patriots dynasty. And he kind of brought up that, and I reckon you said a little bit before, Karts, that they're kind of the bad guys now. Like the underdog, they were very baby-faced when they start. Young Patrick Mahomes getting the job done. Now they've won 3 out of 4. I reckon a lot of people will be starting to go, I want to see them lose. Just like we saw with the Patriots. Every time they made it, you're like, well, actually, whoever the Patriots are playing, I want the other side to win. Is it going to start to happen for the Chiefs where everyone's going to be like, nah, fuck that, I don't want to see them there?
100%. It's already happening. I reckon you could do a study on it. There'd be a point of you win so many games that, yeah, people like you, like you, like you. You get to this point and it turns. You're too successful and people start to hate on you and want to see you.
We want to see other teams in there.
Yeah, 100%. I reckon there'd be a definite turning point in like the success of a team.
Plus every team, like especially like, well, let's just pick one randomly out of the hat, like, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, they want to beat the Chiefs. They want to beat, like, nah, but in all seriousness, all teams now, like the Chiefs are the one to beat, whether that's in the regular season. We've learned that that doesn't really matter because what, they end up finishing 11-6, so they lost 6 times. Doesn't matter unless it's in the big dance. So I think every team now has their one set goal is obviously to get to the Super Bowl, and now it's essentially, sorry for everyone over that side, but it's like to get to the Super Bowl and now to beat the Chiefs. That's the narrative.
Well, and that's the thing. They're gonna obviously be a lot more hunted and targeted. But in the AFC West, I can't see them not winning the AFC West for the next 5 years, kind of thing. Like, as much as that shit to say. So they're gonna be constantly getting to the playoffs. And once they get to the playoffs, they're a different beast. Like, they flick that switch. And this year, like, relishing the role of being the villain, like you saw Kelce and Mahomes like lapping it up, even at like in the week lead up when they had I think the players or went to the stadium or whatever, and it was predominantly 49ers. They're all booing the Chiefs as they're coming out, and Kelce's like, oh, this is getting me fired up. I want to play right now. Like, so they're leaning into it. So like, it's just a scary
that's an Ohio accent you can do.
Yeah,
that was a bit Texas.
He's got like a distinct, like,
he's got a voice.
I'll work on it and I'll come back.
Yeah. it's crazy to think, go Karts. You look like it's
No. I was about to pivot. You keep going.
No, I think it's crazy to think the last team to beat them was Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders.
Go, boys.
So you are a chance. You're a chance. Let's keep beating him. You'll make the playoffs. And let's be realistic.
Let's back to his Super Bowl. So you said before they're 3 out of 4, but their one loss was to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady.
Yep.
Which is crazy to think, isn't it? So if the only person who could take down Mahomes
is Tom and a
Brady-led team.
Nasty man.
We beat him in the regular season this year. So two of us in this podcast actually have a win against the Chiefs this year. So, I don't know if you saw much of post-game and the celebrations and stuff like that. Let's be realistic here. The MVP of the NFL is Jason Kelce.
Oh,
he is an absolute legend. And he
was even trying not to be front and center because he's like, it's not my Super Bowl, but obviously he's going to be there. He's going to party and celebrate with Trav. But just the shit that he does, like, what was the mask that he picked up?
Yeah, was it Lucha Libre or...
Yeah, it was
Lucha
a wrestling mask. He's just in the club just bopping away. Like, such a legend. His KC overalls that he had on was sick on Super Bowl day. They were really cool. Yeah.
I tell you who my MVP was, though, was his wife, Kylie, standing next to him, refused to wear any Kansas City gear because she's a Philly girl through and through.
I think she had some red, like...
She is a genuine Philly supporter.
Or university, that was red. So she's like, I'll compromise and wear that. It's not Chiefs gear, but it's red. That was their one compromise.
Their Cincinnati gear, because didn't they play for Cincy Uni?
They went to university.
She is a Philly girl through and through, T-Mac. If anyone hasn't seen it, jump on Amazon Prime, watch that doco. It's great. Like, he's full in love with that family. And he will become probably one of the next big TV presenters if he does eventually retire. He came out and said he was going to retire, and then he wasn't. Now he is. Now he's going to be the center for the Chiefs. Who fucking knows?
Oh, did he do that? Yeah. Can you imagine?
I didn't hear that.
They always said they wanted to play together. I don't think he can do it to Philly. Actually, no, more importantly, I don't think he can do it to his wife.
That's the only sticking point. Because he could go on a minimum contract or whatever, even just back up for a little bit.
Yeah, just relax.
I don't know how his body looks, and watching that Amazon Prime, his body's pretty banged up. He's got another 12 months.
We saw how he leaped into that window in that box. He's prime still.
They're not doing the tush push in Kansas, so he might be able to go again.
Might be all right. I was going to touch on the coverage you said at the end of the post game. Missed a lot of it. So watching on DAZN, and I think it was a CBS thing. A lot of the post game stuff, they went to one of their new TV shows that they were spruiking. So missed a lot of the post game interviews and things like that. Had to catch up on X and all that sort of stuff. So missed a bit of that. And then strangely, they didn't present Mahomes with the MVP trophy on the podium either. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
ESPN was the same. They just, as soon as it finishes, they go straight to
other stuff. Strange. And obviously, they want
to be better at that.
But they want to capitalize on this big audience and try and get them across there. And I get it, but it's just a bit tricky to find a lot of the post game stuff once it was all said and done. But the DAZN coverage was great. I did hear a lot of people that were watching and say through KO or something, getting the international feed with the different commentators and stuff like that. And then you weren't getting the Super Bowl ads and that sort of thing. So definitely worthwhile grabbing DAZN and watching the coverage through that way. Did you guys get to see any of the Super Bowl ads?
No, I heard they were a bit smelly, but we were ESPN on the boat, so we got nothing but that. We did see Usher. That was
Usher was good. Danny Boy, did you see any ads?
I fast forwarded them all because I was watching.
That's
he's on time restrictions.
Yeah, you're right. They're a bit lackluster. There was maybe a couple of good ones. The Ben Affleck and Matt Damon one. The Dunkin' Donuts, I think it was pretty good.
I did see a big Dunkin' Donuts suit or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And Tom Brady was in there slinging the ball around. But yeah, other than that, not too many standouts. So
it's different.
Didn't miss a heap fast forwarding through them there, I don't think.
No, I do remember back in the day they were full stories and it was a big deal, where I reckon they've kind of dropped off a little bit lately. So another one thing, the States have got to pick up their game. Before we finish off, we do have to mention, we had a win each in our punting. I did pick, and I had the entire boat almost. We were going for overtime. We had overtime, and they kept saying, nah, they're going to get it. No, let's get it to 5 yards, and then let's kick the field goal. Let's go for overtime. I was absolutely stoked, and I was springing to everyone, listen to the podcast. I picked this. I picked this. So overtime was my one. Danny Boy, you picked...
I picked purple because the Super Bowl logo was red and purple. And I was like, the only Gatorade color they're going to pour over the coach is going to be purple because both teams technically are red.
Whoop, whoop.
I got the logo there. You can see it. That was a purple. And actually, purple hat. So it was always going to be purple.
Yeah, mate, it's scripted. Everyone knows this. The NFL is scripted.
And, Karch, you had the pretty stock standard Mahomes Chiefs W.
Pretty stock standard, but none of you guys had it, so.
Good point. So I think that's been our most successful year on the punt for Super Bowl.
Well, the betting bonanza that is the Super Bowl, yeah, I think so.
Well done. Well done, boys. That was good. I reckon we've talked enough dribble about this. We've got combine and things coming up. So definitely.
I just want to say one more thing with the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk's going to be a free agent. Watch that man get paid.
Yeah.
And I would be shocked if he goes back to the 49ers.
He did. He put out a post saying, I'm just going to see what happens. He didn't say, I'm not coming back, but it was very cryptic about, I'm probably not coming back.
That's just smart negotiating. It's not saying, I'm all in with the 49ers and then give them the leverage. It's just, he's keeping the ball in his court. The boy's going to get paid regardless of if he's at the 49ers or goes elsewhere. So smart by him.
Yeah, there is a lot of
advice going on in his ears.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into, we're going into the combine, the draft, and there's some big names floating around, Ayuk being one of them, they're not going to be able to afford him for much longer anyway. They can't give him the big contract because they've got, 2 years left of Purdy's cheap contract, or one and a half years.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to either pay him or find somebody else. They can't give these long-term contracts anymore. They've paid out Bosa, they've paid out Debo. So AU could definitely be squeezed out, and that could be the start of the downfall of the San Fran 49ers.
It's going to happen inevitably. As soon as that Purdy contract comes up because we know he's going to get paid.
Yeah. If not there, he's got to get paid. He's getting paid somewhere. Like, you take him to NFC Championship, into a Super Bowl, you know.
Nah, they're sticking with him. He's their franchise QB.
Yeah, up and to the left means that he's winning a Super Bowl next year. Nah, awesome.
Do you want to touch on quickly what off season is going to look like for us, AGS?
Yeah, so we've got a lot. We've said it before. The pipeline's growing. It's quite big.
We've always got lots to go.
We have a lot. We're going to probably rely more on, not rely on, but we're looking at a lot more interviews being the case.
Transition to our interview phase.
Interview phase, especially, you know, well, but then we're going to have, so the draft's in April. So that's only 5-6 weeks away. We'll do big things for that. It's probably post-draft that we're really going to knuckle down, get a lot of interviews out of the way. I can confirm a couple. We've got, well, the biggest one, I think, Pro Kick. We're getting Chappie on finally. He's going to come on. He was at the Super Bowl.
He was live. He was boots on the ground.
So he's going to be big to talk to. Charlie Pickering keeps pestering me. He wants to come back every week. So we're going to have him back on more chats. We got a lot of Pro Kick punters coming on.
Our man Loz is jumping back on.
Loz, he's coming back on. He was boots on the ground as well. So he had another insight. I saw a couple of his videos of Radio Row and just how crazy it is there. So we do have a lot of content coming. But yeah, it is. We found last year it is tough during the off season to talk about a lot of things.
And you kind of alluded to before, we're going to look at trying to do a lot more stuff with NFL Australia and those sorts of things.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely. We've got some meetings coming up with them just to talk about how big next year is going to be. So stick with us. It's only up and to the right. That way.
Yay! First time he said it right.
Yes, we are. Well, you've got to say it right when the time's right, you know? But yeah. Enjoy, if you do have some time off, enjoy it. I don't think we're going to. We're just going to roll with the punches and keep going.
We'll try and hang on to any sort of little bit of momentum that we may or may not have.
Mate, we rolled off that boat with a huge amount of momentum.
Oh,
so,
I bet you did. I can hit it too.
Good work, boys. It's a brand new season, realistically. The Packers are number one favourite for the Super Bowl.
Countdown begins.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I'll leave it with 200 days to the start of next season.
Is it today? 200?
Yeah. Well, it was yesterday, but that's fine.
No, today.
199. 199 to go, baby.
So.
See you later, boys.
See you, fam.
Bye.